All right, praise the name of the Lord. I'd like for you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and the title of this message, and it will be a series, and it's called Prayer, Personal Victory, and Faith. Prayer, Personal Victory, and Faith. I tell you right now that victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to you. But it's in the same way that the land had been given to them, the promised land, and they had to cross over the Jordan, and they had to go in, and they had to go in, and they had to possess that land. And the way that they did it is they were bold enough to believe God, and they acted upon that boldness and that faith and the promise of Almighty God. And they did what they were not able to do in their own power or their own might, which was to go in and possess the land. And that's the way it is with you and I in the covenant walk of Almighty God, that we get born again by the Spirit of God. But all of the blessings of the Lord and the promises of God are not going to simply drop into your lap. Those types and shadows have been given to us so that we know how to act in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's why we need to be a people of the Word, because this Word right here is just not simply the Bible. This Word right here is the covenant promises of Almighty God. We are to live by the Word of the Lord. We're to believe upon this Word right here. We are to obey it and follow it with all of our heart. You know, that's why the word of the Lord talks about we meditate upon the word of God day and night, that you are a student of the word of God. Do not allow the evil one, do not allow busyness of life to rob you of the rich and the good blessings of Almighty God. As I had stated last week, there's always something else to do. There's always something else to do. You know, if you're waiting for time to spend with God, you will never spend time with God. You have to make a decision in your heart. There are things in your life that you have to decide, I guess I'll just let them rot. That's what I will do. I will get to them when I get to them, and if I never get to them, then I won't get to them, because I'm going to be about my Father's business. And as we walk in that spirit, in that heart, in that way, we will find the good and the rich blessing of Almighty God. The Spirit of the Lord will begin to invade your life in more and more and more. You'll find more power. You'll find more power in God, more power in the Holy Spirit, to where He will lift you. You will find overcoming strength to overcome things that you've never been able to be free of, things that have haunted your life, haunted your walk, or whatever it would be, that the Spirit of the living God will cause you to become victorious over each and every single one of them. This is what the Lord has in store for the righteous, for His covenant mighty people. And as I had said last week, you know, we talked about the prayers that we pray in faith. The prayers that we pray in faith. We must be a praying people. We must be a praying people. If you want things from God, then you must be a praying believer in the Lord. You must seek His face. You must seek His face. You must call upon the name of the Lord. And as you call upon the name of the Lord, then you believe upon Him. Then you believe upon Him. I said that we must pray prayers, but we must pray in faith. They're to be prayed in faith. Those are the only prayers that God's going to answer, are the ones that are prayed in faith before the Lord. And not only that, but I mentioned something else last week, and that is that we must have a clean heart. We must have a clean heart. Let's don't talk about answered prayer. Let's don't talk about having power and faith if we're walking around with our heart being defiled before the Lord. Oh, yes, there are things that we wrestle with and we have to deal with, that we're in progress there and we're turning them over to the hands of the Lord. But when we deliberately keep things into our hearts of a defiled nature, and then we seek to hold on to them because we do not want to give them to God, or we decide to ignore them, or we decide that, well, after all, I'm as good as anybody else is, then we will find our prayers being greatly hindered. greatly hindered. And so we're going to look at this. We're going to look at prayer, and we're going to start there. We're here today with looking at prayer and just looking at the character and the nature of prayer. The first place that I want to go here is that you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 9 says, it says, God is faithful, through whom you were called. Now, I want you to look at this. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, that's a very, very important point right there. Because what we have right here is that there's a threefold purpose of prayer. Now, these are things that I would suggest that you write down, that you're going to get them in your heart. You'll know how you pray effectively before the Lord. You know, there's a threefold purpose of prayer. All right? And I'll list them and we'll go over them at various times. The first one is for fellowship. And when I say purpose, that means that what God's called you to in prayer, he's called you for fellowship. For fellowship, for communion, for relationship, and for intimacy with God. That is the first and foremost purpose of prayer. And when I talk about purpose, I'm talking about the motive of my heart. I'm talking about the motive of my heart. Now, may we get over this idea that what prayer is about is going to God when you need something or want something and just simply asking him to give it to you. You know, the Lord will let a young believer walk in that from time to time, but it all kind of dries up. And then there's no grace in prayer. That's why so many Christians have such a hard time in prayer. You know, God has called us to prayer. He will equip you. He will anoint you. He will cause you to have more power in prayer than you ever dreamed of having, because it will not be of your flesh. It'll be anointed power. It'll be anointed power by the Holy Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of the Lord, he begins to loosen the heart. He begins to loosen the heart so that he can begin to fill his desire, his purpose, and his will, and a heart after God, and a heart for him, and the compassion of the Lord, and the love of the Lord. And they begin to dictate to you and to me more and more and more. He's got to loose that heart up. And so we're not just coming to the Lord when we need something. May we grow past that. Now, I said there's a threefold purpose of prayer. Number one is for fellowship. Fellowship, communion, relationship, and intimacy with God. Number two is the ministry of prayer. The ministry of prayer. We might call it, you know, intercession or spiritual warfare. That would be number two. Now, I'm just listing them in order, but not the fellowship is at the root and the foundation, but they're all come together as one big ball of wax. All right? I mean, I'm not saying that, okay, I go to prayer and, okay, I want to ask God for this, but I've got to have communion with him first before I get to that. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about that what has my heart is the purpose of Almighty God in prayer. And this one big ball of wax is what I walk in prayer. All right, so number two is the ministry of prayer. The ministry of prayer. If prayer comes from God. We serve the Lord in prayer. We serve him in prayer. Prayer is not about me simply coming and when I need something or I want something that I ask God. And that's what prayer is all about. It's not whatsoever. All right, now I'll go to the third one and the third one. The third one, after the ministry of prayer, the third one is to make your requests made known to God. All right, so number one is for fellowship. First, fellowship. Number two is the ministry of prayer. And number three is to make your request made known to God. Now, this is all, again, it's all one big ball of wax. You know, like for example, you know, I may have it very intently upon my heart, and I come to the Lord and I make request of God. You know, that's perfectly fine that I make request of God. But if the only way I ever come to God in prayer is to make request of God, my prayers eventually are going to be very, very extremely hindered. A lot of them are never going to get answered. A lot of them are never going to get answered. And the reason is because I'm neglecting God. I'm neglecting God. And I may not have this thought in my mind, but I'm seeking to use God for my purpose, which is just to get what I want. And then once I get what I want, I don't come to Him again until I need something else again. Right? This is not the way of the Lord, and this is not where we find power in prayer. And I know, so we're going to focus a little bit here at this particular moment in time upon this root and this foundation. And that is that He wants to have fellowship. Now this word fellowship right here, what it means is the Greek word means fellowship, to share, sharing. It means partakers. It means being a partner. Its root and its foundation means companions. It means companions. You know, I don't understand it all whatsoever. This great, this holy, this mighty God, that the great longing of His heart more than anything else is that He and I may have fellowship with one another. I mean, it just absolutely amazes me. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it on the campus of Notre Dame. That's when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was walking through the parking lot. And I'm walking from the Coliseum and walking back, you know, to the parking lot. Walking between the cars on the gravel. And the Spirit of the Lord, it's one of those times, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me so strong that I'm not sure if He spoke to me audibly or in my heart. But He spoke to me and He said, "Ron, you may know me." I'll never forget it. I was about 21 years old. And you know, the way when the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you, the understanding of the words fill your spirit. You know instantly what it means, what the expression that He's speaking, that He's saying right there. And then that opened up something to me that I never dreamed of. Because, you know, I believed being a Christian was just being the best that I could be. You know, go to church. Boy, I'm really doing good if I go to church, you know. And then also, you know, give my tithe. You know, be a good person. And oh, whatever it would be. And, you know, and hold to Christian values. If those Christian values don't ever bear fruit, they're really pretty meaningless. But I'll tell you what I just described to you, may I speak my heart to you, is pretty boring. That's pretty boring, called the Christian life. And let's go out into the world where we can really have fun, you know? That's where the fun is, right? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That just shows you how far the church has fallen from its real true position. It's not made of ritual and an order and solemn assembly. It's meant to be filled with the presence of Almighty God. It's meant to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's meant to be filled with gladness and joy that is of an overcoming nature, to where we'd rather be there more than we'd rather be anywhere else in the world. Many times, sadly to say, that's not what church is. We have to let the Holy Spirit have His way. We have to loose the Holy Spirit of the living God. You have to loose Him in your life. We have to loose Him among us and let Him be what He wants to be. When let Him bring the power and the glory, the Spirit and the presence of Almighty God, that He may do just exactly what He wants to do in you, in me, and among us. And then that's when people turn around and say, "Whoa, what in the world have they got?" I want to say this, if you'll just see it, because I've talked about this with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that 2 Corinthians 13, just listen, verse 14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You understand that it's the Holy Spirit that anoints you and I for prayer. Remember when we talked about last week, you know, when we pray in our own strength and our own power, you know, we may have a devotion time and that is all well and that is all good. But what God wants to do is bring the power of the Holy Spirit and infuse with you the Holy Spirit with your heart for prayer that He can anoint you in. He wants to bring anointed power into your prayer life, my prayer life, to where we're being led by the Spirit of God. And there's a great joy and there's a great liberty. It's not trying to produce something, you know, like pulling teeth, right? You know, where it's all just dead and dry and you got to try to think of something else to pray about. That is praying in your own power. Commendable effort, but God's got more. He's got more. He wants to bring that anointed power into our prayer lives, and that's where fellowship comes from, that I begin to fellowship. My heart and my mind is to assemble before the Lord. That's where worship comes from in prayer. Worship, thanksgiving, and praise of drawing near to the Lord, where you come to bless the name of the Lord, where you go and you find scriptures to pray. I pray a lot of scriptures. I take the sword of the Spirit, and I, particularly in Psalms, I use a lot of the Psalms where I will turn, because Psalms is a picture of all the trials and troubles and difficulties of everyday life and the overcoming power and promise of God, and no matter what the situation would be. For me, I'll turn and then I'm reading along and if nothing's speaking to my heart, I turn and look more. And then I'll find something, then a word comes alive, a sentence comes alive, a verse comes to life, and I know what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. He's saying, I want you to pray that. I want you to pray that. Along with this is also claiming and proclaiming the word of the Lord. We make faith proclamations before the Lord. The Holy Spirit will cause you to rise up in a strong spirit of faith to where you call upon the name of the Lord and you begin to proclaim before Almighty God. That's a faith proclamation. The power begins to go forth in that whole situation. I think I told you, I'll say it briefly, but my oldest son was born cleft palate, and he had a particular syndrome, and in that syndrome, he had a deformed jaw, and in most of those babies, there's not enough room for their mouth, or for their tongue in their mouth. Thank goodness there was enough for him, but he had a hole in the roof of his mouth, and his palate didn't look like yours and mine. He didn't even have one. I won't get into the whole story, but what a trial. What a trial this was. And we got a report. I don't remember anybody remembers the practice of Dr. Laux. Ear, nose, and throat. He was the first one here in Owensboro. You know, he had come here as a young man at that time. And we went to a clinic, and they told us all of the bad things that were going to happen. The facial reconstruction that was going to have to take place. When this surgery would have to be, when that surgery would have to be. Oh, he'll have to have speech therapy too, because he'll never talk right, because he can't put his tongue. He can't put his tongue in the roof of his mouth, you know, as you and I do, in forming words or sounds or letters. I come out of there, I'll never forget it, lower than a snake's belly, as they say, and I was walking along on the sidewalk. I was weeping and I was crying. And I'd been praying, been seeking the Lord, and I got to a certain point, and the Spirit of God came on me. He came on me with a defiant spirit, with a proclaiming spirit, with a spirit of faith, and I stopped dead in my tracks. I said, this shall not be. He had to have one more little surgery when it got to be about 14 years old. A gap at the top had opened in the roof of his mouth and had to have that gap closed. Not one time did he have speech therapy. Not one time did he have speech therapy. He did not have facial reconstruction, you know, to reconstruct his jaw to make it right. It grew on its own. And you can't have those things if you can't walk in them, if you don't stand in them, and you don't stand them in your own power, your own might. It's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to join with you and with me and lead us in a greater way, that what we pray and how we pray, that we become deadly instruments in the kingdom of God to the kingdom of darkness. We serve the Lord in prayer. I give myself to the Lord in prayer. I come and draw near to the Lord to know Him, to let that intimacy of the Spirit flow into my heart. You know, see, for me, I just as example, whatever, I don't have time frames. I don't have time frames. That's fine if you do. You know, I think that you'll get a lot of condemnation using time frames myself, you know, okay? You know, that, oh, I'm not really an effective prayer unless I'm in there for an hour. I may be in there an hour. I may be in there 10 minutes. I may be in there 5 minutes. I may be in there several hours. Right? It's the Spirit of God with no condemnation. It's the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you something else. I mean, if you do this, that's perfectly fine. May the Lord bless you. But I don't have to have 30 minutes of prayer before I walk out of the house. Okay? I just don't. Okay? You know, and I'm not the best morning person in the world. You know, so getting up at, you know, 5, I got to go to work. And I get up at 5 o'clock or whatever it would be. And I've got a lot going on, and I'm not condemned if I don't pray at that time, because I'll be honest with you, I'm praying all day. I'm praying all day. I pray in the Spirit a lot. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, because it's a gift that's for you. It's a gift for you. Why would you be afraid of anything that the Holy Spirit has? Okay, you got to give yourself to the Holy Spirit. You have to give yourself to the Holy Spirit. Give yourself to the Holy Spirit. Let Him do with you whatever He wants to do. Let Him do. And you must have Him. You must have Him. Isn't that amazing? We read for fellowship. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I'll go one for another place for here, and yet you will hear this. Okay, this is the Lord Jesus said in Luke 10:21. It says, at that very time, He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? That's Jesus. And at that very time, He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. And He said, I praise Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou didst hide these things from the wise and the intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in Your sight. You know, so you understand that Jesus walked in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that raised Him up in victory. It was the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the promise of the Father for you and for me. You know, there's been such an attack against the Holy Spirit in so many ways, and even against tongues. You know, and the reason is because there's so much power there. There's so much power there. You know, and then to make people get hurt, to get hurt by some kind of abuse or whatever it would be, that's what the devil loves. He loves to do that, because then what we end up doing is we throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's what we do. And you know, and what will happen is that we run as far away as we possibly can run away. But in reality, what's happening to us is that the evil one has done a number on us. That's really what's happened. And so as a result of all of that, we're missing out. We're missing out. We're missing out in that anointed power of the Holy Spirit that even Jesus walked in. But you don't need him. You don't need him. You don't need him. Jesus needed him. But you don't need him. Doesn't make much sense, does it? Now, I'm going to tell you one thing, and that is this. How hungry are you? How hungry are you? Because you bring a ho-hum spirit before the Lord, and you're not going to get anything. He's not going to get anything. Remember I said this the other day, and that is that, you know, people take the mentality and the attitude that, well, okay, if the Lord, I'll get baptized in the Holy Spirit. If he wants to give me the gift of tongues, he can. He won't. He's not about to. You don't care if you have it anyway. Why would he? To the point that it's almost an insult, right? It's almost an insult to this holy God. Isn't it amazing, you know, that any blasphemy, an evil word spoken against the Son of God shall be forgiven. Isn't that incredible? But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Now that's an incredible statement, isn't it? That's an incredible statement. You know, so yes, no, maybe we don't know how to approach, we don't know to ask, we don't know to seek, we don't know to hunger, we don't maybe know those things, so maybe we take up that mentality to where we say, well, if he wants to give it, then he can give it to me. But what I'm telling you is that all spiritual gifts and power and anointing comes to those that are hungry for it. Those that are hungry for it. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for the things of God? Are you hungry for the power of God? Are you hungry to walk in victory, the victory? Are you tired? Are you tired of looking at one style of Christianity written in this Bible right here and then living in another style of Christianity that has no reflection of the one that you read about? You finally, and God's Spirit lets you get to the place where you've had enough. I'm tired of having my brains beat out. I'm tired of being powerless. I'm tired of not having victory in my own life. I'm tired of being manipulated, you know, by the powers of darkness when it comes to being tripped up in this sin and this temptation and that temptation. And it seems like all I'm doing is running around in one great big circle all the time. Today the circle stops. Today the circle stops. Because it's not the intention of Almighty God. This is in Acts 10:38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Now, did you hear that? How God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came down upon him at the Jordan River. And the next thing, he went into the wilderness, and it says, full of the Holy Spirit. That's when his ministry began. That's when his ministry began, at that particular point in time. The ministry of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the victory comes through that anointing, not through my flesh, not through my good intentions, not through my disciplines, not through trying hard, not living in defeat, not living in failure, not being victimized by the wickedness and evil temptations that the evil one sets you up, that you run around in the circles all the time and you feel like nothing ever changes because there's no power there. You're to have power. You're to have power. God has given it to you and me to live a sanctified life. Do you understand that? You know, sanctified. 1 Peter chapter 1 talked about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? To sanctify you in the Holy Spirit. You know, we live in victory. It's been given to us. Are we going to go in and take it? Are we going to go in and take it? Are we going to let the fire of God fill our hearts to where we get hungry enough to rise up? That we're going to rise up. We're going to plant our feet in faith. We're going to proclaim the word of the Lord. We're going to believe on the Lord. We're going to call upon the Lord. We're going to seek after the face of the Lord. Jesus sought, went to the mountain and prayed, and he sought the face of God. And you remember we were reading about that, you know, and we see that he began to shine, and that was the glory of the Lord. God's glory falls in prayer. God's glory falls in prayer. And as you do that, you know what the most wonderful part of it all? The most wonderful part of it all is that intimate communion and fellowship with the Lord, to where he touches you. He touches you. He speaks to you. I'll never forget also when that came to me and when the Lord said to me, Ron, you may know me. Ron, you may know me. That I knew that, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? You mean to tell me that God will talk to me? He'll talk to me? This awesome, holy, righteous, mighty God, that he will talk to me? And he wants fellowship with me. He wants to, now get this, he wants to make himself known to you and me. He will share the intricate secrets of his heart, his character, and his nature with you. You understand it? This is what becomes the foundation for incredible faith, to stand in the midst of everything that says the opposite of your faith. But see, your faith has been empowered. And the reason that it's been empowered is because you have got vision. Vision has come into your spirit that's not of your own. That you're looking from the visible world into the unseen world by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can see the victory of Almighty God. You can see the establishment of victory for you and the answered prayer. And you're able to believe God, not through your intellect, not through your senses, but in the power, in the power, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm amazed at this because I look at this and just listen. This is in Acts 10. In Acts 10 again, and verse 19, and it says, and while Peter was reflecting on the vision, listen carefully, the Spirit said to him. I want you to hear that, Acts 10, 19. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him. And I can give you example after example in the word of the Lord of the New Testament saints having the Holy Spirit talk to them, speak to them. I was doing a meeting years ago in North Carolina. It was a full gospel businessmen's meeting. And I was staying in the home of this very wealthy man. And I had been spending time with the Lord. And I got up and there was French doors that went into out on the patio. And I went over, and about the time I put my hand on one of those doors, I was taking a break, I was going to go out there and sit for a while on the patio. And I touched that doorknob, and the Holy Spirit said, do not go out there. I heard him. Well, I thought, okay, Lord, I guess I'll go back and pray and study more. I guess that's what you're saying to me is I need to go back and not take a break, but I need to go back and I need to study more, you know, and that's what I thought. That's all that God wanted to say to me. I found out the next morning at breakfast that he was doing a lot of construction work around, and there were 3 air conditioners that had not been hooked up that were sitting out there by the patio. And that morning, those air conditioners had been stolen. There's no telling what I would have run into if I had gone out on that patio that day. I might not even be standing right here, right now, if I had gone out on that patio. But only you and I can open up the window and the door and the expectation for the Holy Spirit to begin to interact and talk to you and lead you, that you not be afraid of any of his anointings that he wants to bring into your life. He wants to bring power in your life. No conditions. Just a simple question. How much of him do you want?